Channel 1, right. First Florence, just a little one. First Florence, and then and then Frank and Judy. This Channel 1, right, on Sunday, the 22nd of July, 73. First Florence, just a few minutes, and then Willie, Jackie, Johnny, Frankie Chitty, this Sunday afternoon, 22nd of July, 73, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right, first Florence, and then Frankie Chitty, this Sunday afternoon, 22nd of July, 73, Channel 1 Right, first Florence, for just a few minutes, and then Frankie Chitty, this Sunday, the 22nd of July, 73.
Well, come on in. Faye?
Stayed up too late last night.
Oh,
every night. Don't you chance it. This is fine. Thank you. Yeah, just a little bit. She likes to keep everybody company. Get you some money. Get you some money.
Oh,
you got it all wrapped up.
Oh, I just typed it. And I just put it on there so I wouldn't forget.
And hit it. You tore it as well as hitting it, huh?
Yes. Florence, it did. Well, let me tell you. I used that, did what you said. I used that,
hot gym clip?
That, paper clip.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets hot, doesn't it, in a hurry?
Yeah.
It'd burn up if you left it in there, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I got the hole on the wrong side.
Oh, you're supposed to put it right over where the blood is.
Well, it was the same color all over. But anyhow, it didn't come out. But this fella, he got it over there on the right side. It just...
Shout out. That's what it's supposed to do. Usually it's a few... when you said the blood didn't come out, I thought, uh-oh. I figured you might not want to go try it again. So, I didn't say anything. Except that we'll try to send you some help.
That little old thing of Carl's really gets you work, doesn't it? It's a drill.
It's a drill.
Just like a emery.
Yeah, very much like dental drills or things of that sort.
Yeah.
High speed. Yeah.
You know what he did? I never saw anybody like that. Have you been telling me about him or his daddy?
I have told you, well, about him. He's really quite a fella. He talks a lot. Very quiet.
Yeah. Did you put that on?
Yeah, I did. You
want to
do it?
I would put it down on the floor.
But he's just full of things all the time. He's just about like a foxfire book walking. About know-how about the country. He knows just a lot of things.
Put it over yonder, Faye. Don't put it right there under people.
And he's real bright, but he still uses the country speech.
Yeah.
Correct grammar, but the country terms.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
You're just fooling with it.
That's nice.
Hey, sometimes I wonder just which side of the bed you got up on.
That's right.
The right one. He uses country terms almost all the time when he's talking. You know, he's kidding Carl about Carl wanted a tarpaulin, you know, the truck. He says, well, we'll go get us a few populars and bend them across there. You know, he's putting Carl on. I said, yeah, I have a covered wagon. He said, that's right. But Carl kind of just goes along and thinks he's telling the truth half the time. But he does know how to do a lot of things. He knows how to do metal work, woodwork, and
you got it on a medium.
Electricity and just everything.
He just got to get
fish and knows about the critters and most everything. He's one of these people that absorbs a lot.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes, in a little bit.
Well, he came upright, you see.
All right.
He didn't get separated from his daddy and his granddaddy, I'll say, in Blount County.
Mm-hmm.
Or Knox County, wherever you are.
But his daddy is quite a fella, too, but he doesn't talk as well as David does.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could connect with him. He's busy all the time, but if you went over there and he was working, he'd visit with you. He's always doing something. He's a most generous person. You know, he comes up, got all that work to do at home, and he'll come up there and help Carl work on the shop. Or they're like two little boys. You know, they have these projects going. Right now, they're building a spiral staircase, he and Carl. They're welding their own.
Oh.
And let's see what else.
That's the railing.
No, it's a spiral staircase, a metal spiral staircase they're making.
Metal?
Yeah.
Never heard of that, did you?
Well, he made a wooden one in his house, and I guess they decided they could make a metal one to go out of doors at the house. There was a stairway there when we moved that went from downstairs up
the
back.
Carpet.
Yeah, she wants me to put something on it so they won't slip. I told her I'd put little pieces of carpet on it. On the tread. And wood rots so bad, they decided they'd make a metal one. So they're designing it, making it. They made the pole, and they welded their own doors to the shed there, that pole barn. That took them 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Between visiting.
Yeah.
Things don't move very fast for those two fellas.
Yeah. Once they start, they get a few things done.
Right. Then Carl comes down here and welds something for him. So they're kind of like two little fellas. This is Auntie Jancy. This is why I don't come visit. She's restless within 2 minutes. This is, now you know. I haven't been ignoring you.
I'll tell you what.
You just had things to do.
I'll tell you what, Nancy, I want to show you Noopy. And Florence can look you
more. Oh, Noopy, yes.
Let me get my shoes.
Is this a new horse?
No, right?
Show Noopy's feet.
Where's Noopy?
This is the one that
fits. Founders. She eats so much, she founders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had that.
Come let me show you. She wants to see you.
We just been out there.
She's right at the corral.
There's 18s out there with that wild calf and heifer calf.
Don't you want to go out and see it?
Maybe you could help me feed her. I've got a little something to feed her right here.
Oh, you got something there?
Yeah.
I think the thing for me to do is come back and visit with you another time. I'll check
your
finger.
Could you help me do this?
Sure would be nice.
Nancy.
Well, if you had a little help, Faye, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Nancy could help me put this rope on her, too.
I'm always starting to write you something and didn't, but we had a real interesting visit with Tuck not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Dow and I found this tremendous turtle on the road.
Oh, really?
And we punched a hole in the back of him and pulled him home with clothes hanger. So Tuck loves wild turtle.
Oh, it does, eh?
And so we went out while they cleaned the turtle and had a pretty interesting afternoon. He had three old ladies over there visiting with him.
Oh, did they?
And they were all talking about people trying to get the history of Micanopy and how people they had clammed up, and each one of them would say, oh, well, I wouldn't tell them anything either, and then they start reminiscing and telling it all right there on the porch.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Who was trying to get the history of Micanopy?
They were talking about somebody that, I think it was a news reporter.
Oh.
And Nick and Opie, who was trying to get some information.
Yeah.
They were
just
trying to tell the other one they wouldn't tell anything.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and start telling it all
right there.
It just brought it out.
Yeah.
They deny it and then tell it. And it was so fun. I did run into a lady over around Beckhamtown. Have you ever heard of Beckhamtown?
No.
You went to see Kate, didn't you, Jancy? You're reading pretty good over there. Go see her grandma. She's in the mid-70s, I guess, and she's an old maid, and she's got more mental and physical vigor.
Well, let me tell you, you ought to go see your grandma a little while, then drop back by.
But have you ever seen a 70-year-old woman run in a full run across the yard?
No.
Well, that she did, buddy, to open the gate, bud.
Yeah. Oh, did she?
A dead run across the yard.
Yeah.
You've never seen anything like her. Nothing like her.
Nothing wrong with her, man.
Nothing wrong with her. She said, the old maid, she says, I decided I was going to be an old maid, and that's what I am. That's what I call myself. I'm an old maid.
Oh, really?
She talks, yeah. She's a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but she's bright, and, you know, clear,
yeah.
And she sings no sad songs.
Oh,
She invited me back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'll go ahead and clear with your grandmother, and I got two or three things I'll tell you.
I was going to look at your finger. I think we'll have to do, probably have to head to town. Kind of Carla's got company up there, and the air conditioner broke, and and I got to cook lunch.
I just put a little,
We're going to get a sitter this week. We'll come out and visit with you.
Right, that's the way he worked on it, you see. The very first thing, it didn't take a second.
Just zipping, it all came out.
Yeah.
I bet you could tell a big difference just after it came out.
Oh, that was all over. I knew it was all over then.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even take an aspirin.
Yeah. Well, you'll have that Infirm compound here. If anybody ever gets hurt again, at least you can get rid of the pain. Yeah, you did split the skin down there a little bit. Your whole thumb looks like it's swollen.
Yes, it is swollen. I was surprised at that. It didn't
swell
yesterday.
Yeah, well, if you, the next thing is, you know, just soak it in warm water if it bothers you too much.
Warm water.
Now, yeah, after you get the coast, it's already clotted.
Oh, I see.
You put it in cold first.
So
and then later on, and if it gets, you know, takes swelling out, though, warm water will do it. Later. Does it bother you at all today? Sore?
I've been typing. Been out there cutting weeds.
And then yesterday you couldn't do anything.
Nothing.
Well, I did too.
You can go get in the car and I'll be right out.
You know, Florence,
most afternoon I worked, and then it
two
got.
Hours.
Then it got to throbbing.
It calmed down, and then it got to hurting so much last night.
Just throbbing. It just needed a little attention.
Well, you might get you a piece of. All right, Jancy. Now you can just go out to the car and I'll be out there. You might get a piece of adhesive tape and just write Infirm compound, fourth grain on it.
Yeah.
And so that you'll know what you've got.
Yeah.
Number two, they call it.
Number two.
Yeah, so that if anything ever happened to anybody and they ask you for anything for pain, you could tell them you had Infirm compound number two.
Well, I can let you have this back and we can get some.
No, don't you keep it because you might need it because we had some two and three at home. Three has a half grain in it and the two has a fourth grain.
Yeah.
The milder kind so that if you sprained your leg or something like that or if you even have a chest cold and bad cough,
yeah.
It will stop you from coughing better than anything. You know, if you have a bad case of a cold or something. That's what they use in cough syrup anyway.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's what John said, tell you that he just takes some cough syrup.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just call you on the phone sometime, and that'll be something wrong.
Well, Carla and I have decided, she is one of these kids that just seems to consume every living minute of your time. If her mouth isn't going, her feet are. And we have decided that Carl's gone off for his vacation, and our vacation is going to be get a sitter for her. And we're going to take off. That's right.
Yeah.
We had on our agenda to come out and visit you this next week.
I don't know that I would take off and come out and visit out here on your taking off time.
Well, we wanted to get out to the country.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have given a pretty penny if you could have been there. That was like, I haven't run into, you know, you always mentioning so many of them don't have any bigger.
Yeah.
She had so much that she almost wore me out while I was sitting there.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. She goes out and mows her lawn with a push mower. She's got 2 acres out there.
All right.
Glad your finger is
out here.
Much of a quit doing it.
Well, I want to plant some, but really he want to plant some coastal Bermuda. Ain't got neither one of it done.
Yeah.
Lee, you got some more company coming.
Yeah.
I like another bug.
Oh, they just, you know, they just coming.
Well, I thought about it, I drove my bug gun shed.
Yeah, why didn't you do that?
Got wave nine in it, please.
Yeah.
Need a new one.
That's what y'all gonna.
I believe it's raining out there now. When is it down?
It's not raining.
Yes, it's raining.
You are such a pretty dog. Yes. Go ahead and look out. Yes. Yes, sir.
Let it come. Y'all had much rain?
No.
We've had it.
We were short.
Got a shower away a while ago. We got some rain and we got some hail the other night after a while.
Oh, did you?
Rain real hard and hail. Went down there in Mr. Armstrong and dry. And I thought they were getting a shebang that away.
Yeah.
So the next day it rained. Got about an inch and a half down there. Come on home, it wasn't hard to rain. So then Thursday, and then let's see, Wednesday, I got one out there. You know that close to Shallow Church, he's got a new pond built over on the right.
Yeah.
I've been mowing in there. No, Jesse, he's been chopping weeds down around the pond, cleaning around them trees that way I moved. And man, it started lightning and thundering. And I seen two or three big drops on the hood to try to hit the hood. I said, well, maybe I can make it back to the end. And I swung around, was going back, and all of a sudden, some big drops got to hit me, and I was already wet with sweat, you know, and it was hot. Man, just felt like I was coming up off track. And them things got to hit me on the back, and I kept going with them. It's so cold, you know, against that heat. Shoot, I looked around back towards his house. Quiet as shit. I said, man, ain't nothing me to do. We just get it wet. So I got it. I got out to the end there and called the old nigger. He couldn't hear me. I had to go down to the gate and come around and come down the highway. Stop man. He was laying up down no creep. He didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
And I got out just getting soaking wet. I was hauling. I said, Jesse, you going with me? And just kept hauling. I said, shoot, he never did move. So I just hauled him and left him.
You could have been scared.
Well, he wanted to keep dry. He didn't want to get wet. See, he was dry all the time.
Oh, was he?
Where was he? He's up in old creek. My siren put out that the junk pile, you know, the top on it. He's laying down in the trough.
Oh, in the creek?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you said the creek.
No.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And then I went down there, and man, about halfway down there, I'd already done soaking, you know, and it's coming down my back, going right down under there, and I up. Boy, that was cool. I just come up out of the seat. And every now and then I'd reach out like you see, you know, that water run down through my pants. I got that, and then I had to turn around then and wet and go back up and get him.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like I was going to get the bug out. I said, Jesse, come on, yeah. I said, man, I'm soaking wet. I'm just getting my car wet.
Yeah.
And he has to monkey around and walk down and get his water jug. I said, oh, shoot, Lee, that water jug. You can get it tomorrow. He comes down and piddle around Dad, burn it, and leaves the door open. Car gets wet. I said, Jesse, my car's just getting wet. You stand up and piddle around. Then I have to go back down in Mr. I had to get his gun and all. And he piddled around down there. I said, gosh, I'm going to get my car wet more than I'm going to keep you from getting wet. So, well, I put him out at that church. But, buddy, I'm telling you, it rained. and went home and changed clothes and went over on to go fishing, and it started raining. I like got wet again after changing clothes. But we've been having a pretty good bit of rain over home.
Well, are you getting enough to bring the pond up or anything?
Oh yeah, it's staying up pretty good. I mean, and the moisture's staying up pretty good.
Well, you see, that's the trouble here. It rains enough to keep the grass growing, but it don't fill up them swamps down there.
You ever clean your pond out?
No.
Shoot, I bet I don't ever get to go fishing that thing. You don't clean it out?
Well, I haven't got anything to clean it with. You got a scoop? Hell, if I had just an old mule scoop, I could do a little.
I always thought those weeds and things coming that pond of mama's are back in that old hay rake in there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And had cables to change it.
Yeah.
But I never did have a tractor mown back then when I was thinking about it. And then here comes this little green stuff, duckweed stuff called it. And it covers it over, so I never got too much out of it since then. Cows have to bubble the water through it.
I'll be that burnt. I don't see how you've got along all this time without something to pull with. Don't it make a big difference?
What you mean?
You didn't have a tractor out there.
Well, I had an 8 tractor. All back quite a while back, but I didn't keep it very long. I cut in my rye, and them old international tractors, man, they tell me when you go in the transmission, nothing they cost. This old tractor been using logwood,
yeah.
And I got it, you know, thinking I was getting for a steel, you know.
Yeah.
I got the thing, it done pretty good, but the gears in the old type. H's was geared down. Now them in later years got a little bit higher, like that in Messiah, but second gear got a little bit a lot higher than what it was back in that type I got. I believe mine was about a 49.
Yeah.
And it was real slow. Well, I was cutting.
I don't know why they just made them to pull the house and lot right along with them.
But I was turning. And all of a sudden, I heard something go, like that. So, oh, now what in the devil's wrong with this? So, I'd go along there, you know. I'd sit, leave her, get doing like that, and jump at you. And I said, uh-oh, there's something wrong with third gear. So I put it over in second gear, just like an ant crawl. I said, man, I don't even turn the dirt enough to cover the stuff. I said, shoot. So, I fiddled around with it there a while, and I owed GP for some hay. About the only way I could get caught up with him, you know. He said, well, I tell him what it is. I said, I'll trade you that H for this hay and what other. Well, he first told me if I got one to get rid of it, he'd like ask, you know, for parts. So I told him, I said, well, there's a chance. So I got some steel wheels. He got from me down at Johnson Brothers before they went out of farming deal down at Red. And I went down there one time and they were grinding corn. He told me to come down there sometime and grind corn. He'd get the hands hit and load them because it's too hard to load, you know. So hell, them old big tandem deal steel wheels, you know. I got them blame things. Got them there, and they said, well, it'll fit a HRN. I wouldn't fit my axle. So somebody told me, well, you just have to get one of them shimming pins or something and shim it up. So I just let them stay there until I dented in the old bakery about that deep. So Jake wanted them. GP wanted them. GP told me, so now if you get rid of them, I'm on. I kept telling him, I said, well, I'm going to get rid of them. I ain't got no use for them. I said, now Jake wanted to buy them here the other day. He said, you don't sell nothing, Jake. He said, I'll get them. I said, if you see, now I want them off that tree. I said, that thing done mashed into that bay tree about that deep. I said, I want to move them anyway. I said, I ain't got no use for them. You done got tracked and all. I'm tired of looking at them. So one day I told him, I said, well, I'm going to get rid of them wheels if I sell them junk, man. Don't look like you come for them. One day he come down and he got them. Not proud he did, because I was going to get rid of them. But I didn't want them. I didn't have a bit of use for them.
You didn't have any use for them then.
No, so.
And they was tandem.
Yeah, so he had a pair, and he didn't want me to use his, you know. I mean, he wouldn't let me have his. They were about that wide. The thin type, I mean. See, these that I got Mobile was about that wide. It was tandem deal.
Yeah.
And that and GP's was just one little single, you know, about like that. So he got it, and later on he put the his steel wheels on the old, tried to run around it by a little bit and started taking parts off of it for his eight. So I guess it's still jacked up fell down on that old shed there.
Yeah.
So I always wanted a tractor for men on. A lot of times I'd get that in Martin when Willie'd have it out here. Sometimes I'd get him, he'd haul it out here, you know, and I'd use it. But Willie thought I was gutting it too much, so he'd always keep it up there around his house, you know. And every time I'd want it, he'd want to do something with it. I said,
he didn't trust you.
I said, just the way I said, to hell with it. And I said, shoot, if y'all won't be aware. I said, he'd just keep saying it. But, I just done with that when I couldn't get Jack somebody to cut stuff in for me, you know, I just done with that. But, you know, about every farm really needs a tractor. And, you know, every Sunday I'd ride around and around these nigger houses, didn't even have a decent suit of clothes. They had a good tractor sitting in the yard.
Yeah.
Every one of them around Fairfield. And I said, now, I can't understand
that. Is that right?
And, which I know, I can understand it too. It's welfare helping out a lot doing them things. See, they're feeding them, you know, and they ain't having to buy that feed. They putting it on tractors and cars and things. For them, just like them food stamps now, see. They get maybe food stamps have to pay $40, maybe for $100 worth of food stamps.
Yeah.
So that's where they get it, see. And they told Margaret down there I didn't have enough expense to get them. That's what they told them about me.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, well, you tell them to hell with them and they can go and just stay put, because I ain't worrying with them. As long as I'm able, I don't want to depend on welfare or that, as long as I can do. If they're going to be cheap like that. And I know plenty of niggas are getting this, drawing $200 a week.
Yeah.
Pay from university. But I've seen a check, Billy Wood out there cashing. And they'd come in there with a whole lot of gum wrapped in them stamps and get stuff.
Yeah.
It's not right. A lot of other niggas needing it. They ain't getting it.
Yeah.
It's just like an old nigga said about the president. The president, he might as well be in, on welfare because he got everything to start off with and gets everything. And a lot of people ain't getting it. He ain't forcing the law for the poor people to get it. It's the well-to-do people that's getting it and the poor people doing it out. They're still starving.
Still doing it.
Yeah. And, a lot of the points I went along with him, you know, about it because it was right. It looked like it... all well-to-do people were either getting a big retirement pension, and then they were getting help, you know, other ways from the state, different things, you know, and then him getting the big bonus, you know, for each year of president and all that stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, the old nigga had something like that going. But now a lot of it, I didn't believe in, because he kind of wanted to push, you know, the nigga this way. They want to push the thing. They want it all. Or none.
Yeah.
And they gonna try to push to get tops and that.
Yeah.
So
and they know how to wangle.
Yeah, they are getting on to it now, shoot.
Yeah.
I guess I'm about the poorest person around and blaming them anymore.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I guess I got about the worst house. Like two monsters. For all these niggas around here living in nice houses and getting good checks and they getting hooked by them stamps and all that stuff. I said, yeah, I'm sitting back. Don't even have a bathroom. Most of these niggas around here got bathrooms, nice houses, everything.
Yeah.
That's the truth now. I'm not lying. Because I figured I wouldn't go in no nigger house there around Plains and water. It didn't look pretty doggone good. Because nigger got, you know, I've noticed these old niggers, you know, that get stuff from Babcock's and Palm's Furniture and all them furniture stores.
Yeah.
They'd get that stuff, and boy, they'd shine that stuff, you know. Take
yeah.
care of it. See, I've been in a few nigger houses, and that furniture, they didn't look good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had that thing spick and span, man.
Yeah.
And now, a nigger wants to take care of anything and buy anything like a piece of furniture, you know. They'll do their business to get out. Them old niggers get out during the weekend on pickup hoeing or something, you know, to pay that furniture man. Shoot, I've seen them furniture people come there and Mr. Bill Udgen's watermelon field. Said, well, I tell you, I can't pay but 50 cents this week, Mr. So and so. That's all right, just as long as you paying something on it. And they'd be honest about it. She'd pay 50 cents. Maybe next time he sends it, she'd pay more.
Yeah.
But a lot of them say, well, I'll pay you on Saturday. This Saturday. This Saturday comes, and they want to put it off next Saturday. I don't quite have the money. So, man, Mr. Miles, I know him from that. The skin of the tutor. Last day. I've been around some of the poets. Poor, pitiful talking boogers. It ever walked, I guess.
Yeah. Well, now that's a curious thing, you see. But you've gone along where you was way ahead, and now they're all catching up with you.
Well, I never was ahead, but I never did bump anything. I mean, in the way of eating,
yeah.
I didn't go hungry or nothing, and
yeah.
I didn't go without clothes. But the thing about it is, I know there's a lot of niggas that went, little nigger kids went out without food. I felt sorry for them, but I couldn't help them myself because I wasn't able to do it. Now, this year is back, say, in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
I really felt sorry for some of them right there in Plains.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when a kid cries, something to eat, you know, milk or something, you know, it's bad. And a lot of people, you know, just like my cousin used to run the store. He would give him a little old, one of them little old bitty 5 cent jars of milk. Shoot, he wouldn't give him nothing. Shoot.
Wouldn't give him nothing.
He figured, by golly, that's just as able as he was to buy it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them working for him for
yeah.
little or nothing,
yeah.
their parents.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't ever that way. I'd like to been where I could have given. I believe in giving. I don't. You know, a lot of people cut me, maybe. And I turn right around and give to them. Well, they might do it. I've been, you know, my own people said, well, I just quit doing it. And I said, well, I look at it this way. I said, now, they might not be appreciating what I'm doing for them now, but I'm looking up yonder. That's
yeah.
appreciation I'm looking to get.
Yeah.
I'm giving, and whatever they do with it, that's their business.
Yeah.
I said, as long as I help somebody out, they don't like it. Just as long as I'm doing the Lord, satisfying the Lord,
yeah.
I don't care about down here.
But, well, let me tell you, Frankie, I have seen people, they could help somebody out, see, and they'd get it back. They'd get it back. I have tried it many a time, and I'm telling you, I never get anything back I put out. Never. No, sir. I don't know what it is, but some people are like that. Do you know that? I just don't understand it.
See your neighbor down here. Cutting hay.
Yeah. They got pretty good hay over there.
Yeah.
Is that the coastal or the Bangola?
It's the one down in the bottom.
Yeah.
Bottom field.
Yeah.
I guess Jack and them, ain't it? Look like Jack's truck and outfit there.
Yeah.
I know they generally always cut it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Rangie, hi, is your tractor doing all right?
It's doing fair, Mr. Miles. It's not on top deck. I don't have a belly hitch for it. That's what I need. That's the hitch that goes on the bottom. Pull anything. You know,
yes.
You know, you can't pull everything on your lift. If you do, you ain't going to have no lift.
You ain't going to have no lift.
So, it leaks a little oil. It's not using it. It's mostly leaking it.
Yeah.
But like it's all I'm saying is tracks of that old is gonna leak some.
Yeah.
And use some too.
Well, let me tell you. Oh, Willie, is he still bogged down with doing everybody's business?
He's still bogged down in that house, Troy.
He
about
is?
About to run him nuts. He got off from church then. About to get off without speaking to me. Willie don't look good. He's, I don't know, something's still bothering him. I don't know. He told me, well, he works up at night and comes home and said he hadn't had a chance to do nothing for himself. Ain't got a chance to put in no millet or anything for them cats. I don't know how they're making it, just they on them weeds. So he just keeps on. He says he'd be glad when he gets done that thing. So we said, well, the car will be sold out and go right down the road that piece. He'd want to build another. He'd be right behind his tail to do it. He said, nope. That would be my last. But it is bad when you can't do nothing for yourself.
Yeah.
And I know how he feels because he got them little old few cows there, and several's nagged him ever since he's got them to get rid of them, you know.
Yeah.
And I've nagged him to keep on hold to him.
Yeah.
She don't like that.
Yeah.
I told him, I said,
there's your money in your pocket.
Yes, if he gets a little grass then shoot. I'm working up then, he can take it easy, shoot. He don't have to answer to everybody's call. You tell him, saying, no, I can't do it.
Well, let me tell you, Frank, he don't have to answer to the same mass call. The last time I saw you, he was in the same shape.
Well, that's a big ass, and he's been having to do it mostly by himself. That's the trouble with it. Troy's a dead gum tight, so he won't hire no help. The only help he gets is himself.
Him and Willie?
Him and Willie. See, now, he had a guy that laid the block, and then one laid the brick. I don't know whether the same one laid the block is laying the brick or not. I don't believe they are. And such as that. Now, the plaster and plumbing and all, I mean, well, Willie do the plumbing, but the plastering and all that stuff, see, will go somebody else, because Willie don't do plastering. Carpeting, I think, carpet deal, I think my sister-in-law's boys are going to take that up for him. And, he wanted Troy to hire a guy to put the top on it. And he fiddled around there, you know, just about the time we was having all that rain. And he told him, said, see, if you'd have went ahead, it wouldn't have cost you very little more. I went ahead and got this man to go on ahead and done it and got on with it. He had the crew to do it and go get on with it. Martin told him, well, he said, yeah, said, that man, I recommended him to as the cheapest man around. Said he'd have went ahead and done it and got on with it. So then they had to linger there. Rain would hold them up. And a lot of times when Willie cut work, see, Troy wound up having to, when they got in a touch, you know, where they had to get them a row finished out. Troy had to stay there and do it himself. Because Willie had his job to go to, and he couldn't stay.
He had to go.
Yes, so old Troy said, you know, said Willie, said, I believe in what you said. Now, the next time, by golly, I'll let somebody do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, old Martin up there with that roofing crew, man, he missed out if he didn't take hold of that.
Well, he don't monkey with that. He's just trying to get Troy good man to do it for him.
Well, that's what I
understood. Well, he's just doing that for Willie, I mean, just to get Troy to do that. But you see, Troy just, well, after he found out what trouble it was he had to go through with after Willie leave him there, you know, every day, he found out then how it was to put on and how long it taken to put on. I said, my goodness, I said, y'all ain't got them on? Hetty said, Frankie said, that Troy Pons, from now on, he'll listen to what somebody said besides himself. Says, I think he's got a belly full of trying to put them things on himself. Said, he don't know nothing about them no way. And when Willie leaves it, he always tells me I ought to finish them out, see? Finish the row out so the row won't be left. So if it starts raining, see, it'll be all right. So he said, that gets him. Said he spent I don't know how long up there peddling around trying to get the row on out. And he told his wife, he said, well, I won't never get nothing like that again. He says, I always listen to somebody.
Yeah.
Said, well, now they tried to tell you to go ahead and hire it done and get it done with it. You'd have it done. The top would be on it.
The top would
be
on
done
it. Yeah.
He said, no, you want go on with it. So he told me down in the store one day, he said, yes, sir. I said, now I hope I don't ever have to mess no talk.
Yeah.
So that give me, said, you know, I didn't think that was so hard. Well, it ain't as easy as it looks.
No.
So,
and it gets hot up there, too.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't know Troy did much work. I thought he just sort of managed.
Well, Mr. Miles, he'll do most anything to cut a book. That's what he's doing all right. Well, he's trying to save. See, he's getting Willie at half price.
Yeah.
And like everybody said, he's just getting Willie for nothing. And when he gets done with it, he won't have much actual labor in it. I mean, paying labor. Because Willie's given him a good deal all the way through.
Yeah.
And he said, now, if he'd had got out there and got a man to done it, they'd have charged him $3 or $4 or more on the hour. That's what Willie's doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I kind of believe Willie. I don't believe he'll take it again. I don't believe he'll money run, which, like you said, he'd like been where he could have got a little bit of grass sowed for his cows. And then he could have worked. He could have come home. If he didn't feel like working, he could have sat down until he had to go back to work again.
Yeah. This way, every time you see him, he's tired, eh?
Oh, yeah. Looks give out every time you see him. Just look
ain't
like
got
he's
much
full.
Say.
My dad, down at church, he looked quiet. It's like he didn't have no energy.
Well, you know that moonlighting on two jobs will, sooner or later, they'll.
Well, I tell you, that night works bad on anybody. That'll get you figured.
Yeah.
I did some of it myself. And I always hated when that time come around.
When your shift come? When your night shift, when it come your turn?
My doggone night shift, sometimes it'd start off 7 o'clock and I'd get off at, 11 or 12 at night. But I hit the most of them, I hit them 11 till 7 in the morning. And boy, I hated that, because when I walked out of that factory, it'd be just like water come down on your head. The dew, you know, and dampness.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's good for you.
Don't believe it either. You know it's not.
So it'd go from then, it'd go in the daytime. And a shift. I had it round and round the clock. I didn't like to work on Sunday, but I had to do it once in a while. It'd come round where I'd have to do it once in a while.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it, because a lot of times they claimed if I hadn't wanted to work and it'd been all right with the boss man, you know. There's a lot of them, you know, I was always wanting to put in a little overtime. But yeah, then you could put in as many hours as you wanted. That didn't hurt. And you could get them out of the way. Maybe you didn't feel like working or something, you know. And I worked for a guy, two shifts. And buddy, I'm telling you now, that's what you call a graveyard deal. Eh? Now, that'll get you. Working your shift and then working his on through the night.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, you just almost just feel like somebody just pushing you on out the door. That's it. You go home and then you can't sleep at daytime.
Yeah.
Kids around.
Yeah.
I went to my aunt's sleep then. I never could sleep in the daytime. It always, it'd be something wrong with me. I'd be sick something sleeping in the daytime.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll get on to it and get tired enough. And maybe I would, but them kids, my aunt's, if it wasn't throwing something upside the wall, it was hollering, going on all the time. I've had to get up and get out this side of the house. Man, Tim said, I know it's bad. You can't sleep. I said, no. I have gone off and had a little old, well, it's not say woods. It's all blocks of land, but it grew up in bushes and things out there. And it had a trail out there, you know, where they played. A lot of times I'd go out there and cool and sit down. I wouldn't sleep. God, I know what man they'd come running through and run over me.
You know, there's a lot of people that can't sleep in the daytime.
But you know, I got one now. These days like now, I always liked it. Because I could do morning and after I come off a job, I could do maybe 3 hours work from morning stuff.
Yeah.
But it's so doggone hot, you can't hardly work. So, any mornings, seem like I can't get enough sleep. Just want to lay there and sleep out the last minute, you know, and then finally have to get out. Now, like this morning, I got up and I laid there, you know, in the chair. And I'd sleep. And maybe I'd lay there, sit there while my head down, sleep. You couldn't do it. I watched Uncle Jim, and he'd be smoking his pipe, you know, and he'd just fill it up and light it. You'd be talking to him, all of a sudden he'd go to sleep just like that, huh? Just keep going down. A few minutes, his pipe would go down like that, and his pipe just keep going, and finally it'd fall.
That'd wake him.
I'd wake him up, and he'd be mad. See, Uncle Jim, he drops the pipe. Yes, goddamn it, I know it. Boy, he used to be around. He said, I wish y'all would get out from here and shut up. I know when I dropped that pipe. Well, I've even picked it up off his shirt. It'd land on a hoop on his shirt, and you know, he'd be laying out in the chair like this. And that doggone stuff, almost to burn his shirt. I'd pick it up, you know, and he'd feel my hand about time, and he'd take his hand and slap it off.
Yeah.
I said, well, Uncle Jim, I was just getting you five of that fishing burn shirt. Oh, damn it, it ain't going to burn my shirt. Get out from here.
It would have burned mine.
Well, it'd burn his, too. He's just lucky, though. You know, a lot of times it'd slip down. I've seen it hang right on his lip. Right down here, you know. And him just snoring away.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he'd tell us he wasn't asleep. You still there, he wasn't asleep. They'd say, well, what you snoring so far?
You don't smoke, do you?
Yes, I did.
How long ago?
Well, I smoked till about... I've been quit about 5 years.
Well, let me tell you, I grew up... used tobacco in every form. I used to work there in a tobacco barn up there. We raised tobacco where I was, and we'd take it off in the wintertime and bulk it and leave it there until hot weather, and it'd sweat, and then we'd put it in the big hogsheads, you see. So when it come time to, there's a whole lot of common labor in that, and I remember the one I used to do. We used to have a great big old Steve, barrel Steve like this. It wasn't a Steve, it was a...
Hoop.
And we'd climb up on a little ladder, and them books was 10 or 12 foot high. And we'd get up there, you see, and lay that thing down and take it up. It'd be stuck together, you know, sweated, put over there. And you'd get that thing so full of back, you see, it'd be clear on up to here. And what you do, you just get over there on the edge and roll off. And take it over there and put it on a little table, and them niggas was down in them hogsheads. No air down there, and I'm telling you, they were just one sheet of sweat. Well, you know what we'd do? We'd take our lunch. We'd take our paper lunch with us, and we'd set up on that hogshead, on that bulk, where that old steamy tobacco was, and eat, and then we'd get some of that tobacco and get us and roll us a little cigar, and we wouldn't sit there and smoke it. We'd get out there in the door somewhere and just sit there and smoke that stuff. And you know, I have smoked that stuff, and I could just feel my stomach turn, but it never made me sick. That's a curious thing. I was in the Air Corps, you see, over the hump there. And we were flying all the time, and we'd get out in that joggy air, and that, you know, that plane going up and down, it'll do things to you. My stomach might turn a little bit, but the rest of them would be bent over heaving, you see. So I just lucky on that. But not, you see, I was brought up, and I used tobacco in every form, except snuff. I never used snuff. I've had pipe, you see, and cigars and cigarettes. And what I liked the most was chewing tobacco, to tell you the truth. But you see, you go around town, and a lot of times it's unhandy to have chewing tobacco. This thing is helping my thumb. It was just put a little heat on it. I don't know. Now that's one of the, you see, we didn't know any better then. And you could just... just do that, and you see, I've seen them old fellas just chew tobacco till they was pickled. Or take an old pipe, you see, they look like, they smell like an old pipe. That's just how much different. But you see, now they won't do it. They're afraid of it. So, you know, they had some advantages we don't have. Now, for Jim, you see, he never worried about that, what that old pipe would do to him.
He chewed and smoked. Daddy did, too. Daddy smoked George Wan on the back of the pipe. All the time.
Yeah.
And chewed, of course, he didn't chew as much as Uncle Jim. He's kind of one of these clean-cut chewers. But Uncle Jim was, he was nasty with you. He'd chew it, you know, it'd get so good, he'd get smacking, he'd run out of it. And Daddy used to tell him, he'd say, "Now, damn, Frank," said, "I ain't telling you a thing about your smoking and your chewing, so damn it, keep your mouth shut." "That's my mouth, I'll clean it off when I want to." Yeah, they used to have time, man.
Well, now you see, he didn't get off where anybody to notice it.
Oh yeah, he went around a lot of women. I seen him kiss some women with that on his mouth. And I've heard him say, "Jim, if you don't clean, keep that mouth clean, keep that tobacco off of it," said, "I'm gonna quit letting you kiss me." And we used to laugh about it, boy. He didn't like it. It just, you could see it go all through his blood. Uncle Jimmy was around in his time, but he finally come to be tame. He's just like one of them stallions. Boy, he was rough.
He was.
But when he...
Did you know him when he was rough?
Man, you ain't kidding. He used to want Dad to always get on us and whip us for nothing. Just because he thought we needed a whipping.
Just because you needed it.
Yeah, he had a crippled horse one time, a sloop, what's it called. You know, one with his foot sticks out, you know, walking like it. And he was breaking. He put that sand on the slide, you know, and maybe breaking that ride, he put a sack of sand on her back. And she didn't do what he wanted to, so he'd just take the trace chain. I seen him beat one almost down the trace chain one time. Boy, I always wanted to be a big man and be around him when he did something like that. I'd take him down. I seen Daddy go to him for one. He had knocked Daddy in the head with a damn chain. Daddy's always a good type, you know. He's, well, kind of a religious man. He didn't believe in stuff like that. Now, he'd cuss once in a while, damn it, or something like that. But he always worked in a church. I mean, he was a deacon in the church. He went to church, and he tried to do right, but I'm saying you couldn't get that man in church. But in the later years, like I said, he calmed down and did pretty good. He lived to be 92 years old, so. Daddy died when he was 79, and Daddy lived long if he listened to the doctor. Daddy killed himself working. They say work don't kill you, but.
Yeah, it will if you got heart trouble.
It's all gone, sure do it.
If you got heart trouble, it'll kill you. You know, I've seen them do that very thing. I've seen them take these old leather whips, these old black snakes, you see, to an animal. And hell, they can just raise whelps on an animal.
I've seen them peel them, take them whips, them old big hard black type. And peel strips on them mules, you know. You pull logs.
Yeah.
Make them go, you know, getting a strain, almost bogged down.
Yeah.
I seen Edwards over there. He used to do a lot of logging. He'd log them up, put them on a train. He used to have a train went out there behind the house.
Yeah.
A dummy, they called it.
Yeah.
And he used to have a man out there, man, really bleeding, putting a whip on.
That whip would take a streak off?
Yeah, peel a hide on. You know, talking about Uncle Jim and his the horse, though. I don't know what he done this horse. Horse had a small coat. He wanted to take Mama's sister, her baby sister, to ride. And he done something. Kick your horse or something. She's kind of tender-hearted, you know. Said, no, Jim, I'm not going to do it. Said, no, don't you quit beating that mare around and all that stuff. So he gave her some lip back. She run ass and hadn't been my great uncle the one that gave her that place. She'd have shot him. She already had the gun. He got there and said, no. No, Maggie said, that ain't the way. Said, now, Jim, let me tell you something. So you gonna behave yourself. Now, Uncle Martin could do something with him. Because, see, Uncle Martin gave Daddy that place. And he didn't invite Uncle Jim up to farm with him. But he'd come up and Daddy, you know, let him farm with him. But he did call for Daddy to come up and farm the place, see, for him. So he did. And so Uncle Jim was just kind of sitting in, you know, sure, farming. Daddy's getting, you know, bored and all that stuff, you know, about that then. Staying around there just doing a little nothing. Said, no, now, Maggie, you leave him alone. Said, Jim, said, now, you leave that, don't be beating that horse so much. Said, it's not right. Mama said he'd listen to what Uncle Martin had to say.
Yeah.
And Uncle Martin's a real old man, too.
Yeah.
So, and Aunt Maggie told him, said, well, says, if he don't, says, I'm going to use that shotgun on him. So, and Mama said she's scared because she'd do it. Said, you just crazy enough to pull that trigger and blow him off the ground.
God
almighty. So, she come back down, she told him, said, well, you going riding with me? And she told him, eight, no, said, she didn't mind, she would next time. Said, anybody do like you? Well, we just going to ride around. I don't know whether it was Sunday or Saturday or what, Mom said he wanted to ride around. He always kind of liked to be sporty, you know, and he'd ride around and he'd get Uncle Martin's buggy or Daddy's little old spring wagon and ride around, you know, for sport back then. Well, that's all they had mostly riding then. There wasn't too many cars.
Yeah.
So,
that's where it all stayed.
I remember back then when there wasn't but two cars in Flemington. Couldn't y'all agree to run that store down there, had one. And finally, Mr. Furman Smoke, Harry Smoke's dad across the street over there, he got one. And that's the only two around. And Dr. Daly'd come around with his, and that's about all you'd see.
If it just stayed like that,
yeah, it'd been real good.
You know,
I rode over here. I rode to Macanopy to get, well, my daddy get barrels of flour. And, he didn't have to do too much getting meat because he always butchered a whole slew of hogs, 8 or 10 head of hogs every year. And made all the cane syrup he needed, so he didn't need nothing like that. But he'd get flour, you know, by the barrels and different things, you know, back then, buy them by the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
From Thrasher over here. I've been there in the wagon. I don't know where I've ever been to Ocala in the wagon or not, but I've been to Wollaston many a time from home. I've been to Fairfield, I've been to Reddick, I've been to McIntosh, I've been to Irvin. All these little straw places around here I've been in a wagon.
But you got to ride, you went on an old dirt road.
Yes, and well, I rode some on the paved road when I first started making the paved road.
Yeah.
But that
it wasn't much.
No.
And
but,
it's one thing to go them on an old dirt road.
It was, when they redone that road out there going by the house, our old house is still standing, old big two-story house. And I was sick. I was 7 years old, had colitis, and a big part of my leg wasn't about that big round.
Mm-hmm.
They were rebuilding that road, straightening it out, and putting asphalt on it.
Oh, was it?
Back then. That's,
oh, that far back?
Yeah, I was 7 years old, I had colitis. They kind of pound me up with pillars. Set me up where I could see, you know, and I could get them old packers coming around, you know. And through some of the windows, I could see them until I got out on this, all side, over on this side. And then I could see them real good, because the open part of the house had a lot of windows. They look just like these houses now. this mill had a lot of big wonders, you know, all the way around it. And I'll never forget it. Old Martin Willie used to catch the train down at Stowe, you know, and ride back and jump off of it. You know. Daddy told us, Brayton, you know, he believed them boys was riding on a train. He didn't want them riding on that because a good way to get hurt.
Yeah.
He said, well, we ain't supposed to let them ride nowhere. We know it, but they undoubtedly must be doing it, and we don't know nothing about it. So one day, the brakeman caught him claiming on. He said, boys, said, your father told us not to let y'all ride anymore. Said, and y'all got on it, said, he's going to tear you up. So he said, we're going to let you ride up here at the cross, and we're going to put you out, and that's don't catch it anymore. Said, that's the order from us and your daddy. Because you're really not supposed to be riding nowhere. So, old Martin Willis said that's fun though. He'd clam on that thing, he'd walk down the store, you know, and then clam on that old train and ride back.
I done that too many times.
No, they just put just a so called track down right side the bed of the road, see, and haul that lime and stuff in there, you know.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah. Right outside of it. See, all they'd have to do, and then when they come back along, all they did was break it down, you know, and put it in the car and haul on back off, whether it started or not.
Well, I've been done.
But that's the only one like that I've ever seen in my life, I guess, be the only one I ever see.
Yeah.
Being made like that. You know, I wasn't too close, couldn't get too close to it. All I know is, you know, from the house.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to even get out. Daddy catch me out of the room there when he was grinding syrup and butchering hogs. And the cane, well, you seen the cane furnace where it was there. Well, the house used to be up there. Well, between Margaret's trailer where it's at now and that house where it's at now, where that old big old peach tree is, was the corner of the house right there where that old bed is. Was one fireplace. Used to have, oh, I don't know, about five fireplaces downstairs and about two or three upstairs, I believe. We didn't have to worry about heat. That's what burnt the house down there. So bad. Cypress shingles.
Yeah.
And Daddy put on some old rotten wood.
Yeah.
And him and Monroe went up in the field. And he always sold corn, seed corn, you know. The mailman would get him by seed corn. And he had a saying he's supposed to catch Mr. Westfall, Emerson won, Westfall, I think. And him and Monroe's out there, and we had another little baby sister. She died back in the 30s. And her and Mom was at the house. Mom had a great big old one of these old big conch horns. She want Dad to come in, you know, for something, either dinner or something, you know. Well, she blew that conch horn. She blew that conch horn. Dad looked up and seen that smoke. He run to the house and he got his gun, shot it two or three times back there. Then, you know, they'd shoot the gun two or three times if there's anything wrong, you know, in the community. People would come see what it was. And they never did get there. Enough of them didn't get there in time enough to save too much stuff.
Oh, that stuff is dry. It just didn't wait.
But we've always been set back ever since then.
Let me tell you, Frankie, I had an experience like that myself. We had a big old house. Old brick house with a shingle roof, and we had them little stoves in there, and them sparks would go out there, and you just didn't know when what I was going to catch. And this happened around the middle of the morning, around 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was there, I forget the circumstances, and I saw it up there right by the flue, by the little chimney, and it was beginning to blaze. And I went up, they called the fire department, and I went up there, and I don't know how I put that out, but I put that out myself. But you see, I caught it at the right time. If it hadn't been for that, see, by the time them fire people got there, you just give it 15 minutes, and it's all it needs. And you know, it's a curious thing. Those fire fellas, those firefighters were so put out with me for putting that fire out before they got there.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. They get on you if you make a false alarm. And
let me see. Rick and Debbie come out at your house one day. What was it? Week four.
Week four, I think.
I was going to come with them, but something happened. I couldn't get off. And I was hoping you'd be there because.
You want to meet Rick's girl?
Oh, she ain't Rick's girl. she works for the office. They send her out here to work out here with me some.
Why don't she work with me some?
I'm gonna tell you about Rick. He's pretty good mechanic. And if you ever catch him out there, you got nothing to do, hell, just show it to him. He ain't any professional or anything like that. And those fellas, I noticed this, all those mechanics, they seem to know more about cars than they do tractors. And it looked to me like them old tractors would be the easiest thing in the world to work on.
Look like.
I got that old Alex Jalmers out there, and the damn thing won't hardly stay together.
How about you had it all on?
That was the sorriest job of overhauling.
Where'd you have it overhauled at?
At that fine place down there, the Alex Jalmers place.
Russia Strike Company.
Yes.
You don't like Joe Farnborough? Gainesville? He runs the other end up in Gainesville.
Well,
he's dealing in David Brown, see deals. He's been dealing in Alice Chama all the time, ever since he started. He's dealing in David Brown now and some of them foreign tractors. He's selling a lot of them foreign tractors, tell me. Now, Henry Chitty says he's taking over the case. The case man went out of business in Gainesville, so they didn't have no case place, so he's combining the case. He's taking over the case. He's going to have Case, David Brown, Chandler, and then foreign tractors all. He's going to be selling all one tractors, all of them.
That's going to be a mess.
He told me he'd done pretty good for the David Brown since he started with a man in the foreign tractors. I asked him how much one of them little foreign tractors cost, and he told me. He told me, but I swear I can't think now what he said.
Well, now, on the Alice Chalmers, he got a pretty good parts man there. And
his brother's a pretty good mechanic. He lives right down there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fred.
I went to school with
him. With Fred.
I remember when old Frank knew it. I don't know. I guess Joe was about out when I remember getting over to Reddick, but I remember Fred real good. I went to school, Fred went to school, and I remember when Frank was still in school.
Yeah.
And their sister.
Did Frank behave himself then?
He's a pretty good boy. He is a harem scarem bugger, though.
He
didn't take no yes and ands, but sure headed old Frank picked up that drain. Old Frank's a good old boy. Now, he's a good mechanic. But that dog and Booze got the best of friends.
Yeah.
Old Joe don't do no mechanic doings. He's scared he's gonna get his hands dirty.
Yeah.
I told him one time, I told old Fred, I said, that brother, you want your regular little make a mechanic? I said, no, look at him, I picked that part up. He's so afraid he's gonna get grease on his hands. I said, he leaves it all to me, mechanic. And I'll ask him to get me a heifer. He'll get me a heifer, it ain't worth nothing. Stay in about a week and then they gone. So I'm trying to learn them something, see, and get them, think I'm getting them to know something. And they pull out and leave.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said, I've got to do this and paint.
Yeah.
I have to paint them. And he told me, he always told me, said, well, Frank, we'll get one. If I ever get one in here, now, I can keep Joe's hands off of it. If he ever puts one finger on it, that's going to be an extra $100. And if he gets me to wash it or look at it to paint it, that's another $200 or $300. So if I can ever get one in here and he don't look at it, even crossways, maybe I can sell it to you. But said, don't never ask Joe Farnborough to buy anything if he's already had his things on, because he's already done put $200-$300 more on it when it ain't worth it. Now, I'm going to talk about my brother. He said, but if you catch him time when he ain't put no price down on it, no tax or nothing, it just comes in as it is and don't monkey with it, you might get pretty good track pretty cheap. He said, but if it hangs around here very long, old Joe Fonbard's going to put his finger on it, and when, like I say, when he does, he puts $100 tax on it just because he walked over and looked around at somebody and said, well, it's worth so-and-so, and I'll give you this part, and he walks off. So every time I'd see him, I said, well, it's been a long time. Y'all been going to call me, let me know when you got a good tractor. Well, I tell you, Frank Reed, we hadn't got a good one in. Either old Joe put his hand on him and got him too high, and I knew you didn't want him. I said, no, I can't. Can't go out no pay for a new one, and it's an old one, so.
It looked like old Fred could have managed something for you.
Old Fred's pretty good, but, tell you the truth, I believe old Fred forgot real bad. I know when I was working over at Cockrell, me and John was working together. I asked him if he ever run into a good one, you know. We looked out for him, said, yeah. Said, because Joe won't do it. Because Joe's after making money. But he's after making money.
Well, yeah, you say, why not take up that? Well, that's my experience. I've priced there, gone through there, and looked at some of his old stuff and prices. And stuff that he hadn't worked over at all and didn't know anything about, but he put his hand on it, and way up yonder. So I just quit trying to trade with him.
There's a man over here at Citra. Troy told me his name. It worked on Troy's. There's something come out of his, that International, that new tractor one his son-in-law bought, and he bought the whole business, you know. And I done forgot what it was. Something come loose in the rear end. A transmission. I done forgot. I believe it was a rear end. Something come out of the rear end back. Well, you know, Troy's insurance man. He's running up with most anybody, all kind of people. And he's got to talk to make money, and he's a doggone good insurance man, because he'll talk something out of it if you don't watch. But anyway, he said this boy out from Citra. And he said he does a real good job, and I don't know what he's going to charged me, but I don't forgot how much he told him the job he believed would be, because he believed he knew what Troy was talking about. Just something slipped loose in there, something got out of place, something he had to put back in something. But he said while he had it over there, there's something else leaking on it. And he had that old boy to fix it. He come and got it, haul it over there on a semi job, and haul it back out here. And I don't forgot how much he charged him. I said, well, dang. He showed us $30-something, $30 or $40-something. I said, now let me show you a bill. He had Swift Ford sent me just for a generator and a fan belt and putting on a water radiator cap. And it was supposed to be them when I bought the tractor, and they just didn't put it on. So he double charged me for that. And for working on it, putting that generator on it, cost me $110. I said, now what do you think of that? He said, well, there's something wrong somewhere. I said, no, yeah, there's something wrong. It's just that Shelly Swift down there. That son of a gun, he's just trying to get fat overnight. Mm-hmm. And it actually wasn't wrong. I had trouble with that son of a gun. Man, it hurt me so bad I want to cry. Think I paid what I did for that thing, turn around and tear that thing and then keep it a week and skint the back of it up and bent my jester back there from my 3-point hitch and all that stuff.
Diane here.
Yeah, she's laying right down there. So we just kept on. I told Margaret, I said, well, I said, I called Angela, the one I bought from. I said, I don't think it's right. Y'all ain't treating me right now. He's giving me extra 60 days on the thing. And you told me if I tore it up, they'd fix it. I hadn't tore it up. I said, been sitting here on the shed, won't start. So, they come out and get it, drag it up on it, carry it down there, keep it a week and fiddle around with it. I can tell it's messing around with it because it had them old doggone holes full of water, sand down there where they'd been running and sand caked up on the rims about that deep where they'd been running around pulling things with it. I can tell it's pulling stuff with
it.
Yeah. So, I told old Shelly right to his face over the phone. I said, I don't appreciate it at all. My track to go down and spend a week down there and y'all just using it just like you please. He said, well, Mr. Chitty, how you feel? Figure that? I says, well, I knew how my track to left you. It was clean. And it comes back every time, always dirty, with all that old mud and water which run through them holes there. I said, it made me so mad I never did tell him about that bend. Because he's getting me mad enough I was going to start cussing him out over the phone and I knew I was going to get trouble there. So Mom told me, said, no, don't start doing that now because you get in trouble doing that. So I shut up. I said, well, that's all right. I said, if you're that kind of man, you can go. And I just dropped the cereal. Next time he called, said, he wanted to know why I so miffed with him about it. I said, wouldn't you be? Somebody send you a $110 bill here for nothing? He said, I don't figure that's nothing, Mr. Chitty. That truck stayed in here a week and my mechanics have to be paid. He said, you know, they charge $8 an hour. I said, yeah, for nothing. That's just what I told him. So I quit, and I got a hold of Ansley. Well, he'd gone, old Shelly Swift had gone up the country on one of them equipment appraisal deals, you know, get, you know, a lot of equipment cheap, you know. I found them sales up the country, up in Detroit and all them places up there.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, where is he, when is he going to be back? He said, well, I don't know. He ought to be back in the next 4 or 5 days. I said, well, I'd like for you to see what you can do now. I bought that truck from you. I said, and I think you ought to hit me out and try to get this bill off my shoulders. I said, I don't think that's fair. He said, I don't think they're going to charge you no $110. I said, I've got the bill right here. And they've done said they want it paid at a certain time. I said, well, you can do as much with them as I can. I said, nope. I said, I'm looking for you to do something. So, and I waited around about the end of the week. I called back down again. I'd called for Ansley because I didn't want to get hold of Swift because just like I told Mom, he's going to keep on making me mad, you know, and I'd cuss him out.
Yeah.
That's what I thought about it. So he said, let me see, Mr. Chitty said, I don't believe he's in, but let me see. He ought to be in. So he called and said, yeah, he's on the other end. Said, I'm going to listen from the shop what y'all have to say. I mean, y'all need me anything, you know, I'll be listening in. So he listened, you know, and I told him. Oh, he went all out there, you know, way out y'all in the woods somewhere and come back for all this young belly fishing stuff. Where he done that, I said, there ain't been a nut taken off there. Transmission or anything, because I said, I got my eyes right on the doggone tractor. I said, and I put it right down, and I told that boy, brought it out. I said, they ain't done a dad burn thing since. He said, well, I don't know, Mr. Chitty. All I heard him say something, do something with the transmission, something. I said, well, you just told him a lie. I said, I didn't say a thing about nothing about transmission. I said, there's something wrong in that rear end. I said, and I want it fixed. He goes and puts a doggone generator and all on it and sends me a doggone bill for $110. Besides, he owed me the cap, and he charged me that. They owed me for a grill, and I've never got that. So, went on, you know, and kept on. I waited there about 2 weeks. I said, well, I'm going to let them sweat it out. I said, God dang it, they call out, you know, they send papers out of it. So I'm going to let them sweat a while. So, it made me mad one day, and I told Margaret, I said, Margaret, I don't have time to talk to either one of them son of guns. I said, they both going to make me mad. I said, I like Mr. Andrew pretty good because I figure he's trying to do right, but somehow he's kind of cutting corners on me somewhere now. But anyway, I said, don't mind, call him and see if he can't get Swift to compromise on that bill. And I would go half of it. But see, the generator only costs $32. And I figured if I could get half of it paid and get rid of them, that'd be the best thing I could do. He said, well, I tell you, Miss Key, I imagine old Shelley will be glad to work anything out Miss Kitty wants. And I talked to him. He said, well, he didn't. He talked to him Saturday morning, and he didn't. He didn't want to work nothing out. He said, well, I'll see him. So, I don't know. They screwed around there. Then another 3 or 4 days. I had to call back down, and they were supposed to let me know what they were going to say. And I had to call back down and find out. I said, yeah, he said he guessed he'd break it at halfway. It satisfied me. Anything satisfied me. Oh, 4 or 5 told me, said, well, I wished I'd have got to you before you went down there. Said, I could have stopped. No, Billy Wood was one of them. Said, man, I had dealings with that son of a gun before. I know 3 more people.
Well, he had dealings too.
Yeah, man, he's raw. He carried one out there. Well, last year out there, and about to unload it in Billy's yard. No, Billy's wife called him over at the store and said, honey, said, yeah, said, the Swift Track people got a Ford Track, they say, you've ordered. Boy, it made him mad. He started cussing, you know, going on. And then he called his daddy. And he told his daddy to tell MSB to get that damn blue thing out of his yard and don't never come back in again. And he didn't order a dang thing from Shelley Swift. So, he said, well, and that burned man had looked at the doggone thing wrong. It was a wood, but it wasn't Billy.
Oh.
Probably old Freddy. And, so then he said, well, yeah, from now on they better be sorry. I said, one son of a gun said, I ever come up at my house, one of them blue tracks sitting in my yard. Said, of course, and I said, the four tracks are all right, but it's just the people. The people have got me beat. Well, I said, yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with the tracks. I said, the tracks are all right. It's just people that's working. And I know this boy here is the one to see him. He's got a brother that works now. He's a parts man in there. I looked at this guy and I knew Willie spoke to him, you know, and cut the food with him, you know. Don something. And I was just fixing to ask him, did he have, was he from Ocala? Did he have anybody working in the Ford place down there? And Billy mentioned something about that, I don't know, asked him about his brother still. Little Shelley down there. I looked at him, I said, buddy, have you got a brother that works for Shelley Swift? Y'all talking about Shelley Swift? I said, yeah, we talking about that old boy. Said, and you mean he's got a brother that works down? He said, yeah, the parts man, the one that stays behind the desk. I said, by God, I'm going to ask you, look like you and him fade. Said, yeah, it's my brother. Said, if it wasn't for him being there, though, they wouldn't have nothing, not bragging on my brother, because he keeps the whole thing up.
Let me tell you, the head of, I don't know who's there now, but the fella that was the manager of the parts back there, he was good.
Yeah, well, that's the one Willie's crazy about. I know Willie'd always go to him, you know,
oh,
and call him, see, and,
oh, yeah.
And see, he'd get them things about four drive tomorrow, you know. And I look at this, and then look at this salesman. And they look, you know, like they almost would be twin brothers. You know?
Oh.
So he said, yes, yeah, said, do you buy a track from old Shelley? I said, yeah. Boy, you something. He said, you know, said, my brother, not bragging, my brother's the backbone of that thing. He said, and he's trying to make up where he can get him a start himself and get out. Old Billy said, well, he'll go somewhere, but said, he ain't going nowhere as long as he stays under old Shelley's roof there. But says, I wish he could get in place. Said, yeah, I wish he'd get a place out too. Said, cause not bragging on him calling my brother, but he does try to do right. I said, yeah. I said, my brother Willie. He said, yeah, I know him. Said, how's old Willie doing? Said, I ain't seen old Willie in here. He don't have to come in and cut through him anymore. I said, I don't know. He's working on that house over at the pond. I said, he got him hooked up away. Said, oh, I like to cut food with old Willie. Said, yeah, Willie knows my brother. Said, he always gets his parts in there from him. I said, yeah, I've been in there several times with him. When he'd go, he'd ask for a certain guy. So he'd come out there. So, and he kind of got a smile, a pleasant smile on him, too. He don't look at you, you know, like he owns the whole earth and wants to run through you, too. But now, that old Shelley, I'm not Shelley, but Mr. Ansley. Ansley used to be with the John Deere people. He is one of the best men John Deere had. And
yeah.
I don't know, some way they tried to pull something over him about the sales deal or something of that John Deere business. He'd been out a long time with them, and he just told me if that's the way they're going to start doing business, that he'd just pull out, he'd get him another job. So he goes over here to the, seemed like the John Deere people over here, here in Ocala. He's the Ferguson people. I don't forgot where. Might have been the Chandler place. I don't forgot. Anyway, he went there. Well, they were way under salary and what he wanted, you know, and what he'd been getting. So he heard it. Swift needed a sales man, you know. So he goes in there for him, and he'd only been working in there, I think he should start back in April. He said, now, I don't know the ropes too much, this stuff, but said, he's some of kind of a good bit of crooked I've noticed since I've been in here, but said, I'm just a sales manager. I'm trying to do the sale. I'm trying to sell farms, and I'm trying to do what I can. They want a man to come in, and the way he talks, he's supposed to be top salesman, you know, Ansley is. So, that's how he got his job, and it was with them, but he says that a lot goes on that he don't like,
yeah.
Just like in that John Deere place, and said he would like to have been where he could have taken the John Deere place over, and the way he talked.
Well, it takes money to do them things.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but like I say, I didn't want to come right out with you. I eat his tail out sitting on the ground at the house one evening. He goes out there with me, you know, and works at the evening. Me and him